Let's see, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is where we are at this evening. This is part of this I preached, well, just a little part of it at funeral the other day, and then in the last couple weeks, the whole, I don't know, maybe it's been a month now, I don't know, but last couple weeks has been like, yeah, funerals and, yeah. Anyhow, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I'll read these verses to you, and this is just some very practical stuff. But it goes along with, I get to thinking about the nursing home ministry, and then, of course, the funerals that I've been to lately, and then just the whole idea of the house of mourning and grief and things like that. And, you know, one of the ways that you know the world is upside down or backwards or whatever you want to call it, you got to go to the end of the world, the depths, the valleys, in order to get better, I guess, is the only way to put it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, I'm going to give you four things out of these verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Now, this is Ecclesiastes written by Solomon, the wisest man in the world, and he'd observed things, and he had lived more than the American dream. He had so much more than anybody could ever even dream of having, and he just come to the end of the whole thing. But I want you to notice in all these verses he deals with the heart, where the heart is, and whether the heart's being considering some things or taking some things on in verse 2, or it's being made better in verse 3, or it's wise in verse 4. And then the house of mourning shows up several times. So you've got this. I heard a preacher describe it when we were up in Ohio, I guess it was last year, a couple years ago. He described it as the ministry of grief. And so it's just, there's four things here that we'll look at that happen in the house of mourning that really improve or have the ability to improve a person's heart. Let's pray, and we'll look at these verses. Father, thank you so much for these words. I pray we consider this in light of ministry, in light of opportunities, and I pray that you would help us make the applications that need to be made. Father, I thank you for these words and for the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for justification, for righteousness, for all those things that are found in you that you have to give to us. I mean, we don't have any of these things. Father, thank you. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd help me. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes 7:2. We'll read these one more time. "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. Living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. There's four things in these verses that are very practical about how the heart is affected by the end of the world. When I say the end of the world, I mean the end of someone's life. This is the end of this existence in this way, in this flesh. And so you go to the end of the flesh there, and you learn some things about life, and you learn some things, or you can learn some things about life. You can consider your own mortality. You consider things that are of value that you wouldn't consider if you weren't there. And so, you know, just like I was talking about, thinking about this, the funeral the other day, and then a couple of funeral a few weeks ago, and then other funerals that hadn't been to, but they've been other places in the country, and people I know of, and people's friends, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just been, when you enter into a place like that, or a house of mourning, so to speak, when you enter into that, you are come face to face with mortality. You got to think about life and death. You got to think about things that you just don't want to think about. And I've noticed, you probably noticed it too, people who have been through very trying things, death, multiple deaths, just tragic events, usually, I mean, Christians, I would say, end up one of two ways. You end up incredibly bitter about what happened, or they end up incredibly graceful out of it. It'll learn compassion, they learn comfort, they learn how the Lord ministered to them in this time of trouble, betrayal, death, whatever it was. It was just a time of mourning, and the Lord was able to minister, and they learned how the Lord ministered comfort in that time, and were able to take that and move forward with it. Or on the other hand, you end up just bitter and mad at God and hating what's happened and all those kinds of things. So let me give you four things about this, about the house of mourning, real quick here this evening. The first thing, you find it in verse 2. He says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So in the house of mourning, the living who are there come face to face with the end. And they it's a place where there's not another time where the living are going to be confronted with this. I was talking, I think I mentioned it. That's where I mentioned it, in the funeral. But as tragic a situation as death is and all that, it's good when people arrive at the house of mourning, because now they're going to be confronted with things they're not ever going to think about outside of this. Your natural tendency is not to think about it, because you just don't want to think about it. You just don't want to think about the realities of life and where is this existence that I'm living leading? I mean, what's the end of this thing? Where is it going? What productiveness do I have in this life? And you come to the house of mourning and you come face to face with the end. Here's the end. Now, what do we remember about this person? What do we remember about their lives? And then you reflect on your own life. What would people say about my life? What would people say? I mean, you sitting there. We sit there and think, okay, what can be said? I mean, what can be said? You can't really think about trying to comfort grieving folks, and you don't have necessarily anything to say, but you come face to face with the end, and you're confronted with things you just don't normally think about, but unfortunately, they're good to think about, because they make you think about things you need to think about, things that you need to prepare for, things that need to be dealt with before you have to actually deal with them. things that, okay, I mean, what does my life consist of? What effect does it have? How have I served God in this life? Things like that. It's just the living in the house of mourning, have an opportunity to come face to face with the end. And it's a place where, in general, we're just not going to want to think about things like that. So that's what Solomon says. It's better. When you have the option, here's the better option. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. You say, I like the house of feasting better, of course. We all like the house of feasting better, but the house of feasting is not better than the house of mourning because it doesn't provoke thought. It doesn't provoke things that need to be provoked. All right, here's another one. It says in verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. Here's the second one. You'll find need in the house of mourning. Here's the comparison. If you and I were to go to the house of mirth or feasting or whatever, entertainment, go to a baseball game, basketball game, whatever, you'll find at that stadium in front of that race and whatever it is, you're not needed there. There's no need for you. But when you go to the house of mourning, you know what you find? Needs. You find someone who needs something. And in the house of mourning, it's better to be there because there are needs there. We're talking, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, whatever it was, but talking about in general, just it was dealing with folks, trying to deal with folks about their souls who don't have any needs, and you can't. You can't deal with people who have no needs because they're not looking for anything. But when they come to a point in their life where they have needs, now you can meet those needs, and now you can be the person to meet those needs, but you'll find need in the house of mourning. You aren't needed at a football game. Those football players don't need you. Those baseball players don't need you. Those basketball players don't need you. But I tell you what, you go to you go to a nursing home, you go to a funeral, you go to the house of mourning. You know what you find there? Need. You find need. So it's better to be in the house of mourning because you'll find need there. Here's another one. In the house of mourning, you'll find the grace of God is in the house of mourning. Let me give you a verse. Look over in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. The grace of God is found in the house of mourning. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. That's Jesus Christ doing this. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now watch this. Watch where the Spirit of God is. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the rich, the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So Jesus Christ opens the book of Isaiah, and he reads about the Spirit of God being upon him, and he says, the Spirit of God is upon me to not go to the rich, not go to the people who don't need me, to go to the poor, the brokenhearted. You know what it is? The Spirit of God is upon me to enter into the house of mourning, because that's where the grace of God is going to be found. Grace of God isn't going to be, it's not going to be found again. It's not going to be found in entertainment and all those things. I mean, you can have fun doing all that stuff, but you know what you're not going to find in all that stuff? You're just not going to find the grace of God in it. It's not there. There's no need for it. At least there's no perceived need for it. The grace of God is in the house of mourning. You find the grace of God there. Peter would say this. He said, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So here's what's acceptable and here's what's unacceptable. It's not really anything to be buffeted. It's not really anything to be punished for faults, things you've done wrong. But when you do the right thing and you get punished, and then not only that, you do the right thing and you get punished for it, and then you take that patiently. And you don't get bitter and you don't get angry about it. I'll give you an example. So I think I've given you this one before, but it's a good one for this. So I remember it just came to mind because we were in Corpus last night. Saw when we were in Trinidad like 10 years ago, Ariana Hoffmeister, and I mean, she's like tiny and now she's married. Anyhow, but it just came to mind about this thing in Trinidad with Brother Hoffmeister. So they're out door knocking, rounding up folks with the buses and all that kind of stuff, and just go, get them. I mean, he's just activity, man. He's just constant activity. And there was one night, John, the guy we knew, he's driving one of the vans, and in Trinidad, and really most other country, I know in Trinidad though, a 12 passenger van is actually like a 50 passenger van. I mean, you cram everybody in there and you're driving like this. And you just got people on top of you and it's just kids everywhere and everybody's laughing and nobody cares that we're all everywhere. But anyway, John, he's driving and they're going out and passing out flyers and knocking on doors and stuff like that. And John's got some folks in the van, and as John's driving, he has a heart attack. And has a heart attack at the wheel, and just smashes into a wall, and people go everywhere. On the street, everywhere. Now, here's what Brother Hoffmeister said. Now, how do I go to our people and say, hey, if you serve God, this may happen to you? It's not like they're going to a bar. They're going to pass out tracts and knock on doors. And John dies, and multiple people end up in a hospital while you're serving God, while you're trying to serve God. Now, how do you explain that? How do you find comfort in that? But, I mean, they didn't get bitter about it. I'm sure there were nights where there was, why God? I'm sure there was. They didn't get bitter about it. They got through it. I mean, church is doing great. I think Alan just read the other day about the 120,000 tracts that went out in one day. I mean, just incredible work they're doing. But they're doing that because they're doing the right thing. A terrible thing happened, And they didn't get mad, and they didn't get bitter, and they just kept going with it. And so it was the grace of God that's found in the house of mourning. They deal with death, they deal with hospitals, they deal with trouble while they're serving God, and then now, I mean, it's very fruitful now. It's been fruitful for a long time, but the point is, the grace of God is in the house of mourning. Grace of God is in the house of mourning. And like Peter said, if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's to be commended. That's to be commended. And then last is this. Back over here in Ecclesiastes 7. In verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, I mentioned it a while ago, but the heart shows up in every single verse. In verse 2, it's what will be taken to heart or laid to his heart. In verse 3, the heart's made better. In verse 4, you have a wise heart. So here's the point. Heart improvements are in the house of mourning. Improvements of the heart. If your heart is going to be improved, it is going to be tempered by grief. I heard a preacher say it this way. He says, in service to the ministry, the Lord will, he said it like this, take a man, break a man, and then make a man. You know, I guess that's an easy way to remember it. But you get called out, you get broken down, and then God rebuilds what he needs to rebuild. But it's not going to happen unless the breaking down happens. Unless you can get past the initial, you know, there's all this. You get saved, and generally there's a lot of zeal and fire, and let's go, and then you start hitting opposition, and then something tragic happens, and then it's all kind of a trial to see where you're going to land on this thing. The Lord wants to see how this is going to shake out in your life. And it's a process of trying the heart. But heart improvements are in the house of mourning. There's loss, betrayal, affliction, trouble. All those things have the potential to make your heart better. They all have the potential to make your heart better. And they'll make your heart better in a way that all the fun won't make your heart any better. Not that it's bad to have fun. The point is, fun's just not going to make your heart any better. Trouble will make your heart better if you'll endure it patiently and go through it. The house of mourning will make your heart better when you consider the end of this thing. When you look at the end of these bodies, you look at the end of life, at least in this flesh, there's opportunity for improvements in the house of mourning. So that's what he says. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. If, again, enjoying things in life is all right. But understand, if that's all our goal is, to just find the next fun thing, your heart can't be made any better. You're not gonna find the grace of God unless you enter into the house of mourning. You enter into, I mean, like just I think I mentioned it Sunday night, but the whole being able to visit folks in nursing homes and. You enter into people's lives where they have needs. You find the grace of God. You find needs there. You find opportunity. And you consider things that you wouldn't ever consider before. And that's good. Those are good things. So Solomon, the wisest man in the world, says, look, I have been in the house of feasting. I have been in the parties. I've had them for days and days and days. I have had bigger parties than anybody could ever have. I've enjoyed more things than anybody could ever have. And what I've found in all of that is I was never made any better by it. But then, when I went to the funeral of my friend, when I considered the end, when I went to the house of mourning, then my heart had to consider things that it hadn't considered before. And I noticed there was an opportunity to get better there. There's an opportunity to grow there. There's an opportunity to be ministered to or to minister to someone. So four things about the house of mourning. The living come face to face with the end. And that's good. You'll find need in the house of mourning. You won't find it in the house of feasting. The grace of God is in the house of mourning. It's not anywhere else. And heart improvements are in the house of mourning. So Solomon understood it. He understood it. And so something to consider. We got, like I said, there's opportunities. Hospitals, nursing homes, there's opportunities. Opportunities all around us. People, we got prayer requests. We're going to take prayer requests of people who are probably sick or in some kind of trouble. And so it's an opportunity to minister, and those are the opportunities. So let's pray.